is an aspect of that which is true. God is holy. God is pure. God is beyond reproach. And so, in one sense, he can't be in the presence of darkness. In fact, 1 John says that in him there he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so we being dark, we being dirty, we can't come into contact with a holy God of light. And so there's an aspect of that's true, but you see, Jesus solves the problem for us in sending his son. And in Mark chapter 1, we read this very short story of a leper. Beginning at verse 40, Mark tells us that a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, we need to look at this story for just a moment from the perspective of the leper. Leprosy in the Old Testament was probably, it was a wide variety of skin diseases, not always what we would think of leprosy. What we call leprosy is Hansen's disease. And probably much of what was termed the leprosy in the Old Testament was more like psoriasis, only a very bad case of psoriasis. So a skin disease that would where the skin would turn white and scaly and would become irritated and begin to fall off and become bloody and very painful. And it was infectious, at least to a certain degree, but the bottom line is it was unclean. Now, the leprosy of this man may very well have been Hansen's disease. It may very well have been the kind of leprosy we think of. That was certainly within that term of or that idea of leprosy. And as we get into the New Testament, that's more of what we see. But it doesn't really matter because the Bible had much to say about whether it was just a skin disease or whether it was Hansen's disease that we were talking about. And there were laws governing the way a leper would behave. In Leviticus 13:45, the leper is told that he must announce his disease by tearing his clothes and uncovering his head and covering his mustache and shouting, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that the people around him would know this man was unclean with leprosy. They weren't to be touched. In Leviticus 5:3, if a leper was touched by another person, that other person touching them would himself become unclean. And so the rabbis, of course, Jewish leaders and religious people, always love to take rules like this and help us to expand on these ideas and make sure we didn't break them. So they had rules about lepers. One rabbi's rule was that you couldn't stand upwind of a leper any closer than 6 feet. But if you were downwind, it was 150 feet. They were to live alone outside of the camp. Leviticus 13:46 confined the leper to be outside of the camp. And so this played out in cities like Jerusalem that were walled, where there were no lepers allowed inside of the city. And so most of the lepers would spread throughout the community. Jesus at this time was preaching in the land of Galilee near Capernaum, away from walled cities where lepers could be a little bit closer to the community. But even there, they were required to be outside of the community. They were to live alone. People at that time believed that leprosy was caused by the person's individual sin. So when a leper was observed, the natural thought of the person was that person must have done something, must have sinned in some grievous way. And so not only were the lepers left outside of the city, not only would people not go near them, but they were shunned. And they were mistreated. And they were left really as and treated even as dead people. One rabbi bragged that when he saw a leper, he would throw stones at them and shout, literally, "Get back to your location and do not contaminate other people." Another rabbi wouldn't even eat eggs from a marketplace where a leper had been anywhere near, or even on that street. They treated these people like dogs. I want you to think for just a moment about a leper's life now. A man or a woman who is already suffering from a disease that is painful, that is torturous, that is shaming in terms of the way you look, and then to have your culture and your society treat you as if you're nothing and less than nothing. Even the priests wouldn't go near a leper. So imagine this man coming to Jesus, coming and beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You see, this leper saw his need. He saw his need to be cleansed. He saw his need of restoration for relationship. And that's why he says to Jesus, make me clean. Not heal me. Make me clean. Because in that cleanness, then he could have relationship with people. He could be near his family again. He could re-enter society. He could be touched. Now, if you've gone without touch for any length of time, but God created us for touch. Imagine years of your life where no one would touch you or come near you or even talk to you. And this man comes to Jesus and beseeches him. He recognizes his need for cleansing. And he humbles himself and he falls at Jesus' feet and beseeches him. He prostrates himself forward and in humility is broken before the Lord and cries out, Lord, if you are willing, heal me or cleanse me. You might wonder, why does he say, Lord, if you're willing? He seems to understand that Jesus has the power to heal him. He doesn't say, Lord, if you are able. Rather, he says, if you are willing, I know you're able. So what is it that prevents this man from just asking the Lord to cleanse him? Where does this doubt come from? Well, think about it. Don't know how long this man had suffered from leprosy, but he had been cast out by his culture. He'd been cast out by even the priests, and he come to this man, and wouldn't it be only natural for him to wonder whether Jesus would even be willing to cleanse him? And so he cries out to the Lord, Lord, if you are willing, please, cleanse me. And in verse 41, we're told that Jesus is moved with compassion. And he stretched out his hand and touched him. And as he stretches out his hand and touches him, he says, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. This man is standing before Jesus. And in Luke, we're told that Luke, the physician, tells us that he was full of leprosy. So here is a man, not just with a mild case, but full of leprosy. And Jesus reaches out his hand and maybe for the first time in years, touches this man. And cleanses him. Now, that's from the perspective of the leper. But this evening, I want to take a few moments and just look at this from our perspective, if we may. Because this isn't meant to be just a story about a man who comes to Jesus. And it's certainly not a story about a physical ailment that causes all kinds of trouble in Jesus healing a physical ailment. There is much more to this story. You see, we need to look at this from our perspective as those who understand the circumstances of our own lives. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what kind of life you've lived. I don't know whether even tonight you've just come with family and you're here because you're kind of doing the obligatory thing, but your life is very much outside of what would be normal or would be culturally acceptable here in Kearney. I don't know what your circumstances are. But what we're tempted to see, though, in this, regardless of our circumstances, is we're tempted to see this leper's story in terms of his external circumstances only. We're tempted to look at his physical ailment, as I've said, and see that. Or we're tempted to make the story about his culture, and we're tempted to criticize those people. Criticize their ignorance about a disease. Criticize their ignorance about social relationships. criticize them for casting others out, criticize them for shunning. We could talk more about that, but that's not the point either. We're meant to see our own spiritual leprosy, and we're meant to see our own spiritual separation from God in this story. We are meant to see ourselves as the leper in need of cleansing. Now, there are two types of people in this world, and you and I fit into one of two sides of this. Now, we could be on a spectrum between these two sides, but there are one of two ways you can react to me saying you have leprosy or our ability to see ourselves in this story. One is that we will be like the leper in that we will not see our own disease. And let me clarify what I mean. Let's talk about Hansen's disease. Hansen's, what we typically think of as leprosy, is not actually a skin disease. It's a nervous system disorder. And the nerves begin to die, and you lose feeling. And increasingly, that loss of feeling extends throughout your body. So in other words, you don't feel pain. So someone with Hansen's disease, someone with leprosy, can reach out and take a boiling pot of water off the stove and not feel it and be burning their hand. They could have a finger literally cut off. I read a story of a young boy who, a man was not able to open a door with a key because the key was sharp and it wasn't. And a young boy walked over, had leprosy, was able to turn the key and open the door, and he sliced his finger open. He felt nothing. And some of us might be like that tonight. You might not see your disease at all. You might not feel anything in terms of uncleanness before the Lord. You don't even recognize that you have a need. Maybe you're thinking, you're a good person. You're okay. Sin is deceitful. And like leprosy, the way sin functions is it convinces you that you don't have the disease of sin. Sin tells us, I'm not a sinner. Or sin says, I'm not quite as bad as that other person. In our society, we have all kinds of people who go way beyond the cultural norms of behavior. We have those who commit heinous acts of violence or sexual deviancy or of fits of rage or whatever it might be. And for some of us, that inoculates us. Because we can look at those people and we can say, well, I'm not that bad. But measured against the standard of God, measured against His holiness, we all have leprosy. We are all separated and distant from this holy God. Every single one of us in this room has experienced sin. Today. When was the last time you got frustrated with someone? Got short and said a harsh word? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 that if you even say from your mouth, if anger comes out and you say, you fool, you are committing a sin worthy of eternal death. Jesus says that anger is murder in the heart. And I dare say that I know I have murdered many people in my thoughts. And I'm quite sure you have too. You see, we're messy. Some of us don't see it. Some of us have a form of spiritual Hansen's disease. And we don't see our need. And then there are those others who, like this leper, do see. And you maybe look at your past, and or maybe you look at your current, present condition, and you do see. You do see that sin. But like the leper, you're not sure whether Jesus will cleanse you. You might believe He's able, but you just don't know for sure if He will. In either case, whether you don't see your need or whether you don't believe Jesus will, you won't come to Him. You won't come.
And this man came. This man came to Jesus. He humbled himself. And he fell at the Savior's feet and he cried out, Lord, if you're willing, he had enough faith to at least say that, if you're willing, Lord, I know you can. And Jesus says it doesn't take a mountain of faith. It doesn't take massive amounts of faith. It just takes enough for you to humble yourself, to come before the Lord and say, I'm a mess. Lord, will you clean me? Will you cleanse me? You see, when Jesus came into this world, he didn't just come to be in a manger. We celebrate this birth, but the birth was so much more. He was named Jesus, which means Yahweh, or God saves. He came to save his people from their sins. He came to grow up, to live a life of perfection, to keep the law on your behalf, to fulfill all of righteousness on your behalf. And then he came to go to a cross and to take all of that uncleanness, all of that dirt and the filth of your life and of mine, and to bear it on the cross and to pay the penalty in full, so that all of those who would humble themselves and lay down and prostrate themselves before him and cry, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And because he took care of this on the cross, he will reach out and touch you and say, I am willing, be cleansed. But you need to be willing to come. So this Christmas, as we contemplate Jesus, it is so easy to get wrapped up in the swaddling clothes, if I can say it that way. Get wrapped up in the temporal, get wrapped up in the moment, get wrapped up in all of the periphery, and let alone all of the stuff that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus and Christmas. We're going to go away here tonight, and you're going to enjoy time together with your families. You're going to probably eat a great meal. You're going to enjoy good company, and I hope you do. I hope you do. But if you have not gone to the Lord Jesus, and you have not sought him for the purpose for which he came, to be cleansed, I urge you, this Christmas, make this Christmas your first birth. The birth of life for you, where you come to Jesus and he gives you his life. And you experience, in one sense, your first Christmas as a believer in Jesus Christ. For those of you that have already trusted in Jesus Christ, maybe you need to reach out to him again and experience his forgiveness again. And then you can go and celebrate an ongoing life with a Savior who came to clean you, cleanse you. We took some time to share some testimonies with some people from our congregation. Just their own experiences of how Christ has met them and who has cleansed them. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to watch a video of some testimonies. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Oh Lord God, you sent your Son into this world to die on a cross. You sent your Son into this world to get messy, to touch people who were unclean, to reach out to us and to bear our sin. Father, I pray for people here this evening that, Lord, if they've never taken ownership of their own sin before you and have seen their need, I pray that you would open up their eyes. And Lord, for those who have, I pray that you would remind us once again of what you've done for us and that cleansing that we have from the payments you made on the cross. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.